celebration tomorrow. Good morning. Let's begin. So we're going to pick up in Meretz Hashem on the top of Samech Tes. Today's daf is Samech Tes. We're going to pick up on Samech Tes. Again, our shiur is sponsored by the Schoenfelds in memory of Barry Plotkin. Baruch Yosef Ben Meir HaKohen. And we hope that in the merit of Shiva is being observed now, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Neshama will have an aliyah. So we left off on top. We're actually continuing a conversation that was begun yesterday. We began to discuss this idea of the Kohanim sleeping on top of their clothing, and whether or not that constituted a type of hana'ah which was permitted or prohibited. So the Gemara said, Shamas poshtin u'mekaplin manichin oson tachas roshin. The Kohanim take their clothing, they take off their clothing at night, they fold it up, and they put it underneath their head, using it as a pillow. So the Gemara says, Shamas minah, big day kohanim nitlo lehanos ben. We see from here that you are permitted to get benefit from the big day kohanim. The Kohanim are permitted to get benefit from their big day kuna. Amra Papa, Loti Matachas Roshein, Ela Ima Kineged Roshein. Tucha Papa says, no. Don't read it as underneath their heads, but rather read it as next to or opposite their heads. And the Gemara says, Ela Amra Misharshia, Shamis Mina, Tfilin Minatsad, Shapir Dami. What do we see from here? That tfilin on the side is appropriate. Hach, so what is that mean about? So take a look at Rashi. Shema mina, midimutr lahanichon etzlo, lo chai shesham yapiach. Rabbi said, what's the whole issue when sleeping? So we spoke about last night that the issue with sleeping really seems to be flatulence on the point when one is asleep. So we see from here that having the big day kohuna in close proximity to you while you're sleeping, we're not concerned that one will undermine the sanctity of the big day kohuna. So the Gemara says, you also see from here that tefillin min atzad, Rashi says, lahanichan etzlo kishuyoshin. We see from here the fact that you could sleep next to big day kohuna also indicates that you could sleep next to tefillin, and that there's no lessening of the kedusha of having the tefillin in close proximity to you while you're sleeping. So Gemara says, "Hachinami mistabra the kineged roshen." So we'll say the Gemara just backs up this assertion. It would seem to be that indeed the case that we are referring to here is not a case of where one has actually put tefillin underneath. Excuse me. One has put the big dekuna underneath their heads, but rather next to their heads. Because if you think that they're literally sleeping on top of the big dekuna, then teifuklei mishum kilayim. Oh, there's another problem. What's the other problem with sleeping on top of big dekuna? A shatnez issue. Now, also, the Gemara says, Daha'ika avnate, because remember, there is the belt, and the belt of the coin. This is talking about, again, this is regular Kohanim. The belt of the regular Kohen is Shatnez. Look at Rashi. Hanicha. Haidol chayish lekilayim. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We're not up to that Rashi yet. So the Gemara says the following. So, Da'ika avnate. Unihinami dinitnu lehanos bahen. Hamis hani mikilayim. So we'll say, even if you want to say that lemaisa, again, you are permitted to get benefit from big day kahuna, everyone agrees that what? You may not get benefit from kilayim, from shatnez. So even if you want to say big day kahuna nitnu lehanos mehen, that you are permitted to get benefits from big day kahuna. And again, when we say get benefit, everyone agrees, by the way, that benefit, of course, will be limited to the kohanim themselves. But lemaisa, again, no one will say that you're permitted to get benefits from shatnez, to which the Gemara says, well, hanicha lemanda amar, avneto shel kohen gadol, Zehu avneto shel kohen hedja. So I will say, this works. Now, again, the Gemara just made an assumption that the clothing of the Kohanim is a kohen, is shatnez. And what shatnez of it? It's not the actual, it's the belt. But the belt itself has a mixture of wool and linen. So the Gemara says, well, just understand, not everybody agrees with that. Hani chalaman da'amar avneto shel kohen gadol, Zehu avneto shel kohen hedja. This makes sense according to the opinion of holds that the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur is the belt that a regular Kohen wore throughout the year. Elo leman da'amar avneto shel. So we'll say, let's look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Hanicha. Haidelo chayesh lekilayim. So apparently, the one who says that we're not concerned about kilayim, and the only concern in this whole discussion is whether or not you are permitted to get benefits from clothing up from big day kahuna. This makes sense according to the man. Damar hanicha, Rashi, haidelo chayish lekilayim. The opinion who is not concerned for kilayim, Leman da'amar avneitel shel kohen gadol b'yom kippurim shehu shel butz. That he says that the belt, the kohen gadol that he wore, that was just made of linen. Zehu avneitel shel kohen hejot. Excuse me. Zehu avneitel shel hejot shel yemos hashana ve'ein kelainim b'bigdei kohen hejot shapir. So I'm also listening to this. So remember, let's follow the progression of this conversation. So the way this whole thing began is we were trying to figure out, the Mishnah made a statement that the Kohanim take off their clothing at night and put it underneath their head. So this triggered a whole conversation that, does that mean that you can get benefits from the Big Day Kahuna? So the Gemara reached the point where the Gemara essentially said, you know what, you're right. They're not really putting the Big Day Kahuna underneath their heads. They're putting the Big Day Kahuna next to their heads. And therefore there is no direct contact and therefore no direct benefit from the Big Day Kahuna. So the Gemara says, well, one second. Even the fact that we could entertain the idea that you'd be putting the Big Day Kahuna underneath their heads, what do you do about the shatness problem? Because after all, isn't the belt of the coin head Joe shatness? And by putting it underneath your head, are you not getting benefit from shatness? To which the Gemara says, well, just understand, whether or not it's shatness is subject to dispute as well. So the Gemara says, there's an opinion that says that the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur was the belt that the regular Kohen Hedyot wore throughout the year. Now, we'll say, remember, what did the Kohen Gadol wear in Yom Kippur? All white linen, which then indicates that the belt that the Kohen Hedyot wore throughout the year was also only white linen. So therefore, again, if that's the case, then it would not pose a shatness problem. El man da'amar avneto shel Kohen Gadol, lo ze avneto shel Kohen Hedyot, ma'ika l'meimar. Aye, but according to the opinion who says that the belt of the Kohen Hedyot, according to Madama, who says that the belt of the Kohen Gadol was not the belt of the Kohen Hedyot, because the Kohen Hedyot had a belt of both wool and linen. What is there to say? Because also, when we say what is there to say, meaning does that not pose a shatness problem? Both, if remember again, we had this machlokis about the belt all the way in the beginning of the Masechta, about what was the nature of the belt of the Kohen Hedyot. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'chi teima kilayim b'levish. Well, maybe you'll say, so we'll say again. So now what we're saying is, this may pose a kilayim problem, but it only poses a kilayim problem according to the one who says that there's a kilayim problem. Right? So again, it's only if you hold that the belt of the Kohen Hedyot was not the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, then you have a kilayim problem. So the Gemara says the following. V'chi teima, well, maybe you'll say like this. V'chi teima, kilayim bilevisha, v'ha'alo hu da'aser, but so shari. I'll give you another answer. Maybe you'll say, well, the Isser Kilayim is wearing something. But over here, remember, the Kohen would not be wearing something. What would he be doing? He'd be resting his head on top of it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, actually, not yet. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, but that's not true. Vahatanya. Lo ya'ale alecho, aval ato mutar la'atsio tachtecho. So we'll say, listen to this. The Torah, when it phrases the prohibition of shatness, uses the lashon of lo ya'ale alecha. The pasuk is ubeget kilayim shatnis lo ya'ale alecha. Now lo ya'ale alecha literally means it shall not come upon you, which seems to understand this as that the iser kilayim is wearing a garment in such a way that you wrap it around you, So the Gemara says lo ya'ale alecha. But Rabosai, technically speaking, you could lay down on a sheet of shatness. So why? Why would that be? Because again, that's not considered to be lo ya'ale alecha. It's not on you. You're on top of it, but it's not on you. So the Gemara says, "Amru chachamim," but the rabbi stepped in and said, "Asra la'asos kim." The rabbi stepped in mid-rabbonon. You can't even lay down on shatness. Why? Because there's a concern that although you're laying down on top of shatness, what may you end up doing? Literally translated, it means that one thread may wrap itself around you. So you both say sometimes when you lay down on something, it's not that crazy that what? That you would end up wrapping yourself in it as well. So mid the oraisa, you can only issue of shatness on things that you put on. Because again, it's derech, what we call derech levisha, a way you wear a garment. Mid rabbanon, even laying down on shatness will be problematic. So the Gemara says, the chitema. So we'll say, therefore, in this case over here, even putting your hand on top of shatness would be problematic. The chitema demaf sikle, or we'll say, page samich tes amudalef, first wide line. The chitema demaf sikle, midi beni ubeni. Maybe you'll say that you won't lay down directly on the big day kuna, but instead what? You'll put something in between yourself and the big, so there'll be another material in between you and the big day kuna. The Amar of Shimon ben Pazi, Amar of Yoshua ben Levi, Amar Rebbe Mishum Kehila Kedosha de Yerushalayim, Afilu Eser Matzos Zu Al Gav Zu. Even if you have literally 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, Vikilayim Tachtayan, and there's Kilayim all the way underneath on the bottom, Aser Lishan Aleim. You still can't sleep on it. Meaning, I will say again, the Issa D'Rabbanan is such that you cannot sleep on top of any Issa Kilayim. That's the point. Can't sleep on, even if there are multiple layers separating between you and the Kilayim. So therefore, again, I will say, in this case, the Big Day Kahuna, even if you were to put another material between yourself and the Big Day Kahuna, it would still be problematic. Elalav Shmamina K'neged Rashehen Shmamina. But rather, again, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, it must have been that the Kohanim were not sleeping on top of the Big Day Kahuna, but rather what? Yeah. The Big Day Kahuna were next to them. And therefore, again, I also remember the whole issue was an issue of flatulence. So now the Gemara seems to say, we're not concerned for that. We're not concerned for that. Therefore, again, Halacha Lamaisa, the Kohanim would not sleep on top of the Big Day Kahuna, they would be folded up next to them. Shmamina. Ravashi, so I'll say something interesting. So right after the Gemara seems to close it down, the Gemara says, Ravashi says, well, maybe not. The Olam Tachas Rasheyan, right? No, in reality, it's possible they slept on top of the Big Day, meaning with their heads on top of the Big Day Kuna. The Hakam is Hanim Kilayim. But what about the fact that it's possible that what? That there's Big Day Kilayim, that it's Shatnez. And they'd be laying down on top of Shatnez, getting benefit from Shatnez. And we said, that's also in the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Big Day Kahuna Kashin Heim. The Big Day Kahuna were made of very thick, almost coarse-like, not coarse in terms of abrasive, but a thick type of material. Ki ha do'amar Rav Huna braid Rav Yoshua, as Rav Huna said in Rav Yoshua, hai namta gamda, this hard felt belt, did Narash, or I should say really just this hard felt, from the city of Narash, Sharia, it's permitted to go ahead and it's permitted. Look at Rashi, what does that mean? Kashim Heim. So what's what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lanaisa, the Big Day Kahuna, was of a thicker material. And therefore, remember, what was the whole idea? Why can't you lay on top of Kilayim? What was the concern about laying on top of Shatnez? That you may come to wrap yourself. The Big Day Kahuna, apparently, says the Gemara, were of a tough enough material, thick enough material, that people would not wrap themselves in it. Because of that, the Din D'Rabbanan did not apply. The Gemara gives an example, like this Gamda Kitrashi, this Namta, Lavash Gamda Kasha Shari, Ein Ba Mishum Kilayim Dehala Dumya Delevisha, the Isbehana Aschimum Hu De Isra. So we'll say, apparently, with these thicker materials that one would not come to wrap themselves in, there is no Isra Kilayim. So apparently, what the Gemara is suggesting is, even if you want to go with the approach, that Lemaisa, they stepped on top of the Big Day Kahuna, it would still not pose a shatness problem, because again, the Big Day Kahuna were thick, and therefore one would not come to wrap themselves in it. Fine. Slimar goes weiter. Tashma, Big Day Kahuna, Hayotzi Mehen. So we'll come back to this Big Day Kahuna piece in terms of seeing exactly what they did. Just so you should know, the way the Rambam records it is that they did not sleep with the Big Day Kahuna underneath their heads, but rather again they slept with the Big Day Kahuna next to them. The point the Gemara is just making is even according to the Mandor, who says they slept with the Big Day Kahuna underneath their heads, apparently you could still avoid any issue of even rabbinic shatness, because this clothing did not lend itself to wrapping oneself, and therefore there's no concern that one would benefit from shatness. Okay, says the Gemara Tashma, Big Day Kahuna, Hayotze Bohen Lemedina, Aser. So also listen to this. So the Big Day Kahuna, if you went outside to the Medina, now I will say, Medina over here means outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? If you leave the Beis HaMikdash in Big Day Kahuna, that is Aser, says Rashi. The Medina Aser, why? Shenoig ba derech chol. Because then you're essentially just wearing it as regular clothing, right? Big Day Kahuna is special clothing that was made, again, for sacrificial service. To go out of the Beis HaMikdash in that clothing represents usage of that clothing in a mundane fashion. It's Aser. Obe Mikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash, Bein b'shas avoda, bein shlo b'shas avoda, mutter. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, you could wear that clothing during the avoda, during the time of the avoda, and not during the time of the avoda. So we'll say it's very interesting, because here's what's fascinating. We've already established, by the way, that the Big Day Kahuna are the property of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Remember where we had this sugya? The sugya that we had, remember, is where we had, let's say, the mothers of the Kohen and Gedolim were making their sons clothing, and there was a whole concern, are they going to retain ownership over it, or are they going to fully go ahead and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash? So Big Day Kohuna belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, there's a realization. So therefore, you would say, if you were a purist, you would say, when should Kohanim, it's not just Kohen Gedolim, when should Kohanim wear Big Day Kohuna? In the Beis HaMikdash, but when? Only during sacrificial service. And therefore, in any moment that they are not engaged in Avodah, what should they do? They should change. The problem is, of course, that's a huge tircha. It's a huge tircha, and it's not totally realistic, because inevitably, I will say, what's going to happen? Kohanim are going to be wearing clothing when not engaged in sacrificial service. For example, Kohen has to change into his clothing. The amount of time that it takes him to walk from, let's say, the Kohanic quarters, right? The Kohanic quarters until the Mizbeach. Their time, by definition, is not engaged in sacrificial service. So it's a very unique type of situation. So therefore, the Gemara says, you can't wear your Big Day Kohuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But when you are in the Beis HaMikdash, you can wear your Big Day Kohuna, Bein B'Shas Avodah, Bein Shelo B'Shas Avodah Mutter. But you can wear it, I'll say, when? The entire time. Whether you are doing the Avodah, whether you're not doing the Avodah, you can wear it. Why? Mipnei She Big Day Kohuna Nitnu Lehanos. I'll say, for one simple reason, because apparently, again, Big Day Kohuna were given over to the Kohanim to get benefits from. Now, what does it mean, get benefits from? Again, this is a limited benefit. This means benefit that they could wear it, you know, doing the activities of daily living within the Beis HaMikdash itself, but they may not wear them out. So the Gemara says, Shmamino, and indeed learn out that what? So Rabbi say, again, this brings to closure our questions. Remember, again, this whole sugya came up because we were trying to figure out, can Kohanim get benefits from their Big Day Kohuna? And the answer is a tempered yes. What's the tempered yes? They can in that what? And that they could wear it throughout the day in the Beis HaMikdash, even if what Rabbi say? Even if they are not currently engaged in sacrificial service. See, even again, if they're just walking around the Beis HaMikdash, even if they're just eating, not sacrificial items, but just stam other items, no matter what they are doing, as long as they are in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, they are permitted to get benefit from the clothing. The assumption is that during their waking hours, Kohanim are assumed to be engaged in temple service. As such, they are permitted to go anywhere the Big Day Kohuna. When they go to sleep, what do they have to do? They can't put their heads on it, but rather, again, they put it opposite to them. Shmamina, and indeed, this is the halacha. So now the Gemara says,
they
now,
would sleep in the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, they had barracks. They had barracks there. This is your first day. You don't get questions first day. at least a week straight and on time. Then you get questions. That's it. It's awesome. Sorry. It's not mine. It's Ari's. I just work here. I just work here.
We all went through it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So then, and then there's the tar and feathering, but that's a different. All right. So says the Gemara. Yes, but they did sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. They actually had barracks. Barracks is the wrong word. Barracks sounds too like
quarters.
Quarters. Right. I was going to say hotel, but that's too lavish. No, that's something different. That's just storage spaces for the knife. Right, so that's again, but they literally had places to stay in the Beis HaMikdash itself. They actually, it's actually interesting. The Gemara says, one of the opinions we saw is that they also used to sleep around the Beis HaMokah. Remember, they had a fire chamber because again, Kohanim would get cold over the course of their day. So according to many, they used to sleep on the floor of the Beis HaMokah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Now the Gemara just made a statement over here. That's what? That Lamaisa, you can't wear the Big Day Kohuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav says, that's true. Also, listen to this. This is an amazing story. Vahatai, really amazing story. Vahatanya, we learn that if your friends are not here, you should text them now that they should get here because Chavaltan is this. Ube Medina lo, Vahatanya, we learned that Esrim v'chamisha b'teves, on the 25th day of Teves, Yom Har Grizim. Rav says, there's something called Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis references a whole bunch of days in which we fast on and on which we celebrate as Yamim Tovim. So Megillas Tainis is lost. We only have remnants of it. So then all these other Yamim Tovim, where they would not say Tachanon, so one of these days, the 25th of Teves. What happened on the 25th of Teves? Yom Har Grizim was considered the day of Har Grizim. What do we do on the day of Har Grizim? I also understand Har Grizim was very important for us, it was important because, again, that's where the bracha and the klala took place when we entered into Eretz Yisrael. So in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, it was more important because it was the stronghold of the Kusim, of the Samaritans, right? So who caused the Jewish people incredible problems. Listen to this. We don't say eulogies on this day, which means it's a Yom Tov. Because what happened on this day? Yom Shebikshu Kusim is based on Lokim Alexandros Mokdom. It was a day in which the Kusim, remember again, we've referenced the Kusim many times. The Kusim were a group that we resettled in Eretz Israel by the king of Ashur. There was an outbreak of lions. The Kusim converted, but their conversion was always suspect, because they were found to be worshipping idolatry even subsequent to their conversion. Therefore, and later on in history, they became antagonists to the Jewish people. They tried to undermine us in many different ways. So what happens? So this was the day in which the Kusim went to Alexandros Mokdon. So Alexandros Mokdon is Alexander the Macedonian, also known as Alexander the Great. So they went to Alexander the Great. Lachriv, and they said to Alexander, the Jews are trying to rebel against you. So the Kusim were trying to tell Alexander, Jews are rebelling, and they wanted to destroy our temple. And what happens? Alexander gave them permission, gave the Kusim permission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? Vodiyu es Shimon HaTzadik. And they told Shimon HaTzadik. So most remember who Shimon HaTzadik. You know this. Shimon HaTzadik haya mishayare anshe kineses hagidola. Right? It was a Kohen Gadol, was also one of the last members of the Men of the Great Assembly. They told Shimon HaTzadik that the Kusim are going to be marching on the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened?
Alexander
what happened?
Told him?
I'm sorry?
Alexander told
no, somebody told him. No, Alexander didn't tell him. Right? Somebody else, whoever told him, he found out. So what happened? Ma'asa, lavash bigdei kuhuna, v'nis'atik bigdei kuhuna. So Alexander, Shimon HaTzadik dressed up. You remember, he was the Kohen Gadol. He dressed up in his bigdei kuhuna, and he went. He traveled. U'miyakiri Yisrael imo. And the most important people, the Jewish people, accompanied him. V'avukos shel or biyadeyan. And they were carrying torches of light. V'chol ha'layla halalu holchim itzadzeh. So also, if you can imagine the scene, what's happening? The Kusim are marching from Har Gerizim to Yerushalayim to go and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews, the delegation led by Shimon HaTzadik, are marching towards Alexander from the other direction. So each are coming from an opposite direction. So what happened? Ad Sha'ala Amud HaShachar, until dawn. Kevan Sha'ala Amud HaShachar Amulahem Mihalalu. So what happens? Comes the morning, Alexander the Great sees these two camps marching towards him. And what happens? He says to his people, who are these? Who are these people marching towards us? Amru lo Yehudim shemardu b'cha. They said to Alexander, oh, these are the Jews who rebelled against you. Because remember, the way that the Kusim sold us out is they told Alexander that the Jews have rebelled against you. Rabbi Osai, again, historically, conquering monarchs don't need all that much evidence to show that people are rebelling against them. So you have the Kusim. The Kusim pledged their allegiance to Alexander. The Jews have not yet pledged their full allegiance to Alexander. We're still a spiritually autonomous people. And therefore, Alexander believes them. So they say to Alexander, oh, that's the group who rebelled against you, who is marching towards you. Kevan che gila Antipas. Rabbi Osai, this is wild. When they got to Antipas, Zarcha chama upaga zebaze. So what happens? They got to Antipas, and what happens, Rabbi Osai? If you can imagine this scene, the Kusim and the Jews converge upon Alexander exactly at the same moment. Kevan shera'a l'shimon HaTzadik. Rabbi Osai, get ready. When Alexander the Great, now remember, understand, Alexander the Great, in his heyday, was the most powerful man on the face of the earth. That's not an exaggeration. He was the most powerful man on the face of the earth. What happens when he saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yorad Memer Kavto, he got off his chariot, V'hishtachave Lefonov. Can you imagine this? Alexander the Great got off his chariot and bowed down before Shimon HaTzadik. Amru lo, so his advisors, right, his men are floored at this. Melech Gogol Kemoscha, Yishtachave LeYehudizu. You're the king. You're not just the king, you're the most powerful monarch on the face of the earth, and you're bowing down in front of this Jew. Listen, Alexander the Great said, Amr Lahem, Diokno Shalze, Minatsechas Lofanai Bebes Milchanti. Alexander the Great says, whenever I go to war, I'm always accompanied by an angel. And the angel looks just like this man. That's like quite amazing. Wow. So again, the Maharsha says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this nation. Again, you should just understand how Gadol is. You know, people who are Matzliach in ridiculous, ridiculous ways, that only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You only become an Alexander the Great when God is on your side. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a good person. But it means that clearly God is on your side. So Alexander the Great realizes that his success is very much because the divine is on his side. And he says, when I went out to war, there's an angel. And the angel looks like Shimon HaTzadik. I've seen this man's face in all of my battles. So he gets up and he bows down before him. Amar lahem lama basem. So after he gets up, he says, "Nu, why are you here?" Says to Shimon HaTzadik, "Why are you here?" Amru efshar bayish mispalim bo alecha va'al malchusecha shlo techarav. So listen, the house in which we daven for you and we daven for your sister, we'll say again, general, happens to be Alexander. Alexander was a benevolent ruler to the Jews. The proof to that is what? Proof to that is what? Right? Many Jews throughout the ages, if you ever wonder how the name Alexander has entered into the Jewish name lexicon, right? It's not exactly, it's not a biblical name, right? It's not a Jewish name. It's not a Jewish name at all. It's the name of a Gentile monarch. Jews had incredible hakaras hatov to Alexander the Great because he was benevolent. He allowed Eretz Yisrael to exist on its own. He allowed spiritual autonomy. He even allowed governmental autonomy to assume. Remember, when do things go south? Right? When Alexander the Great dies. Remember, again, it's a little bit of history over here. When Alexander the Great dies, there's a huge power vacuum. And because he doesn't leave an heir. So there are four generals. Alexander the Great's four generals divide up his massive empire. One of his generals happens to be a man by the name of Antioch, also known as Antiochus, who takes over the area of the Syrian Greek Empire. That's the Antiochus of the Hanukkah story. Pre-Hanukkah, things weren't great. I'm saying it wasn't like the heyday of the Jewish people, but things were good. Things were peaceful. There was no ridiculous taxation. There was no trying to squeeze every penny out of the Jews. Things were normal. Jewish society thrived. And Alexander dies. So they said to Alexander, Shimon HaTzadik says, "We daven for you every single day in our Beis HaMikdash, right? We pray for you." Again, we say the tefillah for the Memshal, the tefillah for the government every single day. The home in which we daven for you, you're going to allow to be destroyed. Amar lahem. Mihalalu. So Alexander then turns to the other group and he says to this other group, "No, who are you?" Excuse me. Alexander says, "Who are the people who want to destroy the temple?" Amrulo kusim halalu sha'omdim lefanecha. So Shimon HaTzadik says, "Funny you should ask. Funny you should ask." Right? It happens to be the people who want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash is this other group standing right over here. Amrulahem harihem misurim biyadechem. So Alexander will say, "This is an amazing reversal." Again, Alexander says, "Okay. The kusim are yours to do it as you want."
Like a
corpse story. Right, exactly. A total 180. The kusim are marching on Yerushalayim to destroy it because Alexander the Great gave them permission. Now he has total respect for Shimon HaTzadik, gives the Jews the kusim. What do the kusim do? Well, I'll say this is a bit brutal. Miad nokvum bakvem, they pierced the heels of the kusim, utelo'um benzin ve'susim, susayim, and tied them to the tails of their horses, vayu megarin osa ala kosim v'ala barnakim, and dragged them across the thorns and the thistles, ad she'egiu lahagrizim, until they reached Hagrizim. I will say, Hagrizim was essentially the Harabayis of the kusim. That was the temple mount of the kusim. What did they do? Kevin she'egiu lahagrizim charshua v'zaruha krishin k'derech shebikshu la'asos beis lebeis elokeinu. When they got to Har HaGrizim, they destroyed the Kusi temple and literally plowed and sowed Har HaGrizim with vetch. Vetch is animal feed. So they totally destroyed the Kusi temple and plowed the field under it. The Jews did this. The Osa Hayom Aso Yom Tov. And that day they made into a Yom Tov. That was the day when we were saved from the Kusi threat. And ultimately, again, destroyed the Kusi temple. People say, understand, you know, it's harsh. But the truth is, the Jews clearly felt that they had to make a point. You know, to go ahead and let the Kusi go back. You know, it's interesting. There's a time for shalom. We often mention the best way to make shalom is how? The best way to make shalom is to beat your enemies into submission. That's the best shalom. The best peace comes from strength, not from words, right? Show your enemies that you could beat them down to the ground, maybe even beat them down to the ground a little bit, and then you could say afterwards, "Let's be friends. You know, let's learn to coexist." If you say, "Let's learn to coexist," and you don't do anything to neutralize your threat, your enemy will be back at your doorstep before you even know what happens. So they have to neutralize the kusim. And yes, they make a very dramatic example. And therefore, this day became a Yom Tov. So also, again, remember, why did we quote this story? So again, it's a fascinating Raisa. But why is it here? Because what happened? Alexander, excuse me, Shimon HaTzadik wore Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So don't tell me you can't do it. He wore Big Day Kahuna. So the Gemara gives two answers. So some say it doesn't literally mean he didn't literally wear Big Day Kahuna. What did he wear? He wore clothing that could have been the Big Day Kahuna. So we'll say, we've seen this before already, that Kohanim, very often, especially wealthy Kohanim, had kind of like Big Day Kahuna replicas, like their own wardrobe that looked like Big Day Kahuna, but was not sanctified as Big Day Kahuna. So possibility number one is he wore clothing that looked like Big Day Kahuna, but wasn't actual Big Day Kahuna. Or the second answer, which I think is much more powerful, V'bay Seima, Ace Lasso slash Shanei Faro Sarasecha. The other opinion I will say is what? He did wear Big Day Kahuna. How can you wear Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash? I will say, Ace Lasso slash Shanei Faro Sarasecha, Chazal translate to mean, there is a time where you have to do things for God, and doing things for God sometimes requires an annulment of the very precepts of the Torah. In other words, sometimes dramatic situations require dramatic action. Mm-hmm. So, right, you don't normally wear Big Day Kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. This was an exception. Shimon HaTzadik felt that he had to make a point, and that point was only made by wearing the Big Day Kahuna out, and that was for the salvation of the Jewish people, and therefore was permitted. Next, Chazan HaKnesses Notel Sevta. So, also, if you remember, again, the Mishnah described the process of Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? The Chazan HaKnesses was the Shamish. The Shamish took the Sefer. He gave it to the Rosh HaKnesses, to the Gabbai to the Skan, and the Skan to the Kohen Gadol. What do you see from here? Shmamina Cholkin Kavod LaTalmid B'Makom HaRav. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? That you are permitted to go ahead and give honor to the student in the presence of the Rebbe. So Rabbi say, there's a big machlokis about this. In general, if you can give Kavod to a Talmud where his Rebbe is present, because according to some, giving Kavod to the Talmud in the presence of the Rebbe represents a lessening of the Kavod of the Rebbe. So the Gemara says, you see from here that you can give Kavod to the Talmud in front of the Rebbe. And I'll say, what does this refer to? We're giving Kavod to the Skan in front of the Kohen Gadol. So you see from here that you can give Kavod to the Talmud in front of the Rebbe. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Amar Abaye, kula mishum kavodo de Kohen Gadol. The truth is, no. All of this is considered to be Kavod for the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because once again, there's a whole procession, there's a whole process over here. All of this, it's a buildup, and it's a dramatic buildup, and it's all considered covered by the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol only, and what happens? The Kohen Gadol stands up. The Kohen Gadol stands up to receive the Torah. So the Gemara says, Mechlal Shu Yoshe. Now, also, the fact that it says that the Kohen Gadol stands up indicates to us what? That if he apparently was sitting, really, but we learned. Ein yeshiva ba'azara elo amalfei beis David bilvad. Rabbi said there's only one person who could go ahead and sit in the azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is kings of Davidic descent. Only kings of Davidic descent are permitted to go ahead and sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone else must stand. Shnei emar vayavo hamelech David vayoshev lifnei Hashem. So how could it be that the Kohen Gadol is sitting? Oh, where Rabbi says it's all taking place? This is taking place in what we call the Ezras Noshim. What's the Ezras Noshim? The Ezras Noshim, we call it women's section, although it wasn't really the women's. Women could be there also, but this is the outer courtyard. So again, remember Rabbi says, if you have your Beis HaMikdash picture, you can see over here, this big area over here, this is called the Ezras Noshim. So the reading of the Torah on Yom Kippur was taking place over here in this Ezras Noshim. So the Gemara says the following: Hachanai be Ezras Noshim, Behecha Itmar de Rav Chista. Where was Rav Chista's original statement made? Aha, it was made concerning this. Meisvei, or I should say, aha, Meisvei. It was made concerning this question. Desanya, Hechan Kol Rinbo. Where do we read? Where does the Torah reading take place on Yom Kippur? Ba'azara, in the courtyard. Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov Omer. Baharabayis Shine Emar. So Rabbi Sagan Halokh Lamaisa, we say that this reading of the Torah in Yom Kippur took place in the Ezras Noshim. And that's why, again, even if you want to be medayik in the words to say that the Kohen Gadol was sitting, that's okay, because one is permitted to sit in the Ezras Noshim. Fine. So the Gemara now quotes a couple of psukim regarding this. Vayibarich Ezra Es Hashem. Es Hashem Ha'elokim Hagodol. Ezra blessed Hashem the great God. My Godel, what does that mean, Godel? So the Gemara says, Amarav Yosef, Amarav, Shegidlo B'Shem HaMeforash. It means that Ezra recited the Shem HaMeforash. Now, I'll say again, what's the Shem HaMeforash? Look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, Vayvarich Ezra, No, no Rashi, I'm sorry. So we'll see. Shemar Meforash means Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's when Ezra recited the bracha. He recited the bracha and he enunciated the letters of this name. So the Gemara says, Rav Gidol Omer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam. On the other end, Rav Gidol says, no, what does it mean? That he blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim HaGadol. HaGadol means that after he recited the name of Hashem, everyone else responded, blessed is the name of Hashem, the God of Israel, Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam, from this world to the next. Amrli Abayi Rav Dimi, V'dilma Shegidlo B'Shem HaMeforash. Aye, but maybe it's like we originally said before, that he said, Atche Yudke Bavke, Amrli, Ein Omrim Shem HaMeforash Bigvulim. Rabosa, you can't say the name of Hashem, you can't articulate the ineffable name Yudke Bavke outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabosa, what does it mean outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Ezra is standing in the Ezras Noshim. Ezra standing in the Ezras Noshim when this takes place. So, and yet the Gemara calls that what? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now remember, Rabosa, the whole reason why this is all coming up is because what are we trying to show? That if the Kohen Gadol was sitting, where could you possibly be sitting within the Beis HaMikdash compound, but yet not be in the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak? And now we've established that what? That's the Ezras Noshim. Just like, again, Ezra couldn't articulate the name of the Shema Meforash and the Ezras Noshim, so that the Kohen Gadol would be able to sit in the Ezras Noshim. So Mar says, Velo, is that true or not? V'hoksiv v'yamod Ezra sofer amigdal eitz asher asu l'dover. But yet the Pasuk said that Ezra sofer stood on the platform of wood that they built for this matter. For the Amar of Gidlo, of Gidlo says, what is this matter? What did they do? Shegidlo v'shema Meforash. And yet, what did Ezra do from this platform? Ezra went ahead and articulated, he enunciated the divine name of Hashem, to which the Gemara says, you're right, he did it, but Horas Shah Haisa. Rabbi say it was a temporary measure. Horas Shah means that it was an exception. There was apparently, again, Rabbi say, just like we saw before, that according to one opinion, Shimon HaTzadik wore the big day kahuna outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Because it was Hara'ah Shah, it was an extenuating circumstance. So too, the Gemara suggests that the blessing of Ezra, the fact that Ezra blessed the people with the Shema Meforash and actually articulated that name, was also a Hara'ah Shah, was a dispensation. I will say why Ezra did that, we'll discuss. Meaning, what was the emergency? What was the major situation that caused him? We'll get to that. So the Gemara says, Vayter. Vayitzaku el Hashem Elokim b'kol godol. They called out to Hashem. To Hashem, their God, with a great voice. So we'll say again, the Gemara once again over here is quoting from Nehemiah. It's quoting from Nehemiah. They called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a great voice. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, my Omer, Omer Rav, V'itim Rav Osmos says to this. So now, let's imagine this scene. So this is now in the Navi Nehemiah. The Jewish people are calling out in a state of distress. So now the Gemara is going to say, what's the distress? What's the problem? I will say, it's another amazing, amazing Gemara. So Amar Rav Yitim Rav Yochanan, bye bye. Bye bye means oi oi. Oi oi. Woe to us, woe to us. So the Gemara says, hainu hai. Listen to this. So what are they crying out about? Hainu hai, da achravei lemikdasha, because this thing that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Vikanye lehechale, and laid ruin to the hechal, vikatlinu lekulu tzadike, and killed all the tzadikim, vaaglinu liyisrael me'areihom, and caused the Jewish people to be exiled from their land, vaadayin merakeit beinon klum, right? I'm sorry, beinon, and yet it still dances among us. So we'll say, what are they talking about? The yetzer hara for avodah zarah, right? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is hay de achrevei labeis hamikdash. Mevakshin rachlim sheim strabiyadam yetzir harashal avodas kum. So I hear under Nehemiah, the Jews are lamenting, you know, we have suffered so much because of the sin of idolatry. Again, we've committed, we have worshipped idolatry. Because of that sin, because of that yetzahara, everything has been destroyed. We've lost the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, this is already now Second Temple era. But the point is, they're lamenting the fact about all we've lost because of Avodah Zarah. All the people that have been killed because of Avodah Zarah. And yet, despite it all, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah is mamish doing the Hora right here. It is dancing among us. It's still here. So they say, Takalish Baruch Hu, Yahavisei Lan. Yahavisei Lan. So the Gemara says, Klum Yavisalon El Kabuli Be'egra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you give us this Yetzirah? You gave us this Yetzirah so we should get reward. I will say, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Yetzer not because he wants to punish us. Because again, I will say, success in life is only meaningful if you have to overcome challenge. If there's no challenge, then there's no real success. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, says we should find the strength, muster the strength to overcome it. And when we overcome it, then what happens? We get reward. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not working, right? We're succumbing to it. So we have an idea. So the Gemara says, the Kabbalah of Igra, Lo ihu ba'inan, for lo agri ba'inan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? They're going to make you a deal. They're going to make you a deal. You keep the challenge, and you can also keep the reward, right? So let's call it even, right? Don't test us. Don't give us meaning with the Jew. This is desperation. This is absolute desperation. We can't overcome the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. So if you look back at that Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, "Hide the achrav elabes hamikdash." What are they davening for? Meaning, what is the request? Rashi says, "Mevakshin rachanim sheyimser biyadam yetzir harosh shel avodas kochavim." What they are asking is for God to give them the power to vanquish the Yetzirah for idolatry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove the Yetzirah for idolatry. Okay, so we'll say what they're saying is, again, we recognize why you give it to us. We can't overcome it. We know we'll lose out on a whole bunch of reward. It's okay. You know what? We're beginning to be mevater. We're willing to forego the reward. Just get rid of the Yetzer. We'll say, this is amazing. So we'll say, what happens? A note fell down from Shamayim. Imagine this. The Havikasav Ba, one word, MS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, true. You're right. MS. What you're saying is MS. Amar Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina suggests as an aside, Shmamina Chosmo Shala Kodesh Baruch Hu MS. So Rabosai, first of all, we see from here that what? The signature of God is MS. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu left them is, you know, from the desk of God. You know, from the desk of God, God. Right? MS. You know what? You're saying good. You're saying good. I have Rachmanos in you, my children. I recognize you can't overcome this Yetzirah. You're right. So what did they do? Also, listen to this. Very exciting. Osivu patani satlas in yomin. They fasted for 3 days. Utlasa they sent 3 nights. Masrua nehele. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them control over the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. I will say, how exactly do you get control over the Avodah Zarah? So listen, this is wild. So what happens? No, excuse me. Nafak. Asa kiguria dinura mibes kachyakadar. So we'll say after 3 days and 3 nights, they are on the level to conquer and subdue the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. What happens? So a fiery lion jumps out from the Kodesh HaKadosh. Rabosai, that is, there is, they're looking right at the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. It's just interesting, by the way, that the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah jumps out of the Kodesh HaKadosh. So it tells you something very profound. That the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, if channeled, what is the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah? It comes from a pure place. It comes from a desire to connect to something bigger than yourself. If you channel and you sublimate that Yetzirah in the correct way, you can become an incredible Avodah Hashem. That's what I will say. If you look historically, some of the greatest people came out from the greatest generations of Avodah Zarah. The paradigmatic example of this is Avram Avinu, right? Avram Avinu came from Terech Avrei, came from an incredible Oved Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu learned to channel the power of Avodah Zarah and to sublimate and to channel it into the service of God. So the fiery lion of Yetzirah emerges from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What happens? Amar Luhu Nabi the Yisrael, Hainu Yitzhar Davodas Kocham. So Nehemiah told them, that's it. So as you can imagine, everybody's standing there. I mean, can you imagine for a moment, like, what exactly do you do? Right? So now I'm standing there. The fiery lion comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is this? So Nehemiah says, that's it. That's the Yitzhahara of Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Shneimar Vayomer Zos HaRisha. What happens? That's the Risha. That's the evil one. So we'll say, what do they do? So what do you do? You got to capture it. So they wrestle it. Bahadit tetafsu alei ishtamit bein se mimazie. So we'll say, as they are wrestling the fiery line of Yetzirah, what happens? One of the hairs of its mane fell off. Now we'll say, the Mashok says, what is one of the hairs of the mane? That meaning, we'll say, as much as they're going to vanquish the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, a little bit got away. A little bit got away. One hair of the mane got away. Verama kala. Now we'll say, as they're wrestling down the fiery line of Avodah Zarah, it lets out a cry because now it's kiviyachol, it's in pain. It's in pain. And what happens? And va'azal kala arba mea parsi. The voice, the cry extends 400 parsos. Amru hechi na'avid. What should we do? Dilma chas shal merachami alei min shamaya. So also the concern was that if we just wrestle the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer from Avodah Zarah down to the ground, it's going to cry out. And what's going to happen? God may hear its cries of pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have rachmanus on the fire line of Yetzer. So what should we do? Amar lehu Navi. So the Navi said to him, Shajua bedura de'avra, vechafyua lepumi ba'avra. Throw it into a lead container and cover it with a lead covering. Apparently, lead absorbs sound very well. So again, essentially, put it in lead, and that'll drown out the sound. The avra mishif shayiv kola, because lead absorbs sound. Shne emar vayomer zos harasha vayashlech osa al tocha eva vayashlech es even haoferes apia. He said, "This is the risha. This is the evil one. This is the yitzhar of all the zara." They threw it into an eva, and they put a stone of lead on top of it. Amru. So Mosai said, now this is the story of how they vanquished the Yetzer Avodah Zarah. Mosai, this is why to this day we often read we read the Nevi'im and we read how people struggle with Avodah Zarah, and for the life of us we can't understand how someone could be so drawn to a fashtunkina idol. It doesn't make any sense to us. And the reason it doesn't make sense to us is because, again, Chazal removed that Yetzer. Yes, there are little remnants of that. There's the hair. There's the hair from the mane that still exists, but it's gone. So the Gemara says the following. Amru hoil ve'isratzonu niboi rachame ayitzra da'avera. So we'll say now, the rabbis realized that they were on a roll, right? Now this is pretty big stuff. We just finished off the Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah. So you know what? What's next on our list, on our to-do list? Let's take care of the Yitzhara for immorality. Let's go ahead and take care of the Yetzer for immorality. So the Gemara says, what should we do? So the Gemara says, Bo'u rachame, the rabbis davened again, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again gave them control, took away the Yetzer for immorality. Amar lehu, so as the Yetzer for immorality was being conquered by the rabbis, he said to them, just get ready, Chazu di'ikat lisu lei lahu, Kalya Alma. So they see the Yitzhara of immorality as he's getting ready to be slaughtered by the rabbi. Says, just beware, if you slaughter me, you will destroy the world. You will destroy the world. So they said, you know what? That's a pretty serious threat. Let's take it under advisement. So what did they do? Kalya Alma, Chavshua Tlasa Yomi. So Moshe said, you know what? So what do they do? They decide before we go ahead and destroy the Yitzhara for immorality. So they kept him in jail. They incarcerated him for 3 days, or it for 3 days. Let's see what happens to the world when he's not there. So the Gemara says, Ubo bi'asa bas yoma b'chol Eretz Yisrael v'lo ishtachach. And what happens? They tried to find fresh eggs in all of Eretz Yisrael, and they couldn't find fresh eggs. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, bi'asa bas yoma, so they couldn't find an egg that was laid that day. What it means is, when they removed that Yitzhara, there was not even a desire for basic procreation. I'll say, remember, you have to understand something. All Yetzer Haras are not inherently evil. Yetzer Hara represents the corruption of what could normally be a very important and good drive. So just like, again, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim because it represents at its core a desire to connect to the divine. It's just Avodah Zarah is taking the wrong approach to that. Immorality represents the basic desire for procreation, the basic desire for real intimate connection. When you remove that the Yetzer Hara, you remove everything along with it, along with the basic desire for procreation. So there are no eggs. And the Gemara should see that as an example. No eggs to be found in Eretz Yisrael. What happens? Amru hechi na'avid. So we'll say, now the rabbis had a problem. What's the issue? What should we do? Nakdelei, if we destroy the Yetzer Hara for immorality, it's clear, kal ye'alma. It's clear that what? The world won't be able to exist. Niboi rachami apalka. So maybe you'll say that we should ask for partial divine compassion. I will say, what does it mean, partial divine compassion? Look at Rashi. Lepalga shehe sholeit ba'adam lizakik leishto v'lo la'acheres. So maybe we should daven like this. We want the man to desire his wife. That's what we want. If man doesn't desire his wife, that's big tzaris. So why don't we say that let Yitzhara for Arayos be partially intact, that a man should desire his wife but shouldn't desire anyone else. See, it says something very interesting. Palga berakia lo yahavi. God doesn't fulfill partial requests. And I will say, what does that mean? What that means is that, come on, you've got to be a big boy, right? Either we're going to destroy this Yetzer Hara, or it's going to remain intact. But God created it, and we're going to struggle with it. But you can't start asking God, you know, give me a Yetzirah for my wife, but not a Yetzirah for this one, and not a Yetzirah for that one. God doesn't work that way. This is not a smorgasbord, right? This is not a morality smorgasbord. I'll take two of that, one of that, none of that. Either it's going to be here or it's not going to be here. So also, what did they do? This is amazing. So the Gemara says, Kach linhu le'enei vishafkos. So I'll say, what did they do? Literally translated, it means they blinded the Yetzirah for Arayos, and then they let him go. So I'll say, what it means is, in some way, they damaged him. So they had to let him go because he was right. The world needs him. So, but what did they do before they let him go? They damaged him. Literally, they blinded him. I will say, what does that mean? Somehow they handicapped him. And I will say, listen to this. So the handicapping of the Yetzirah worked. How does it work? Dilo migri be le'inish bikrivase. I will say, how did it work? And I will say, interestingly enough, you know, one thing we don't desire, normal people don't desire, and that's their immediate relatives, right? Normal people don't desire incest. They may desire everything else under the sun, but not incest. Why? Now, again, the Torah itself prohibits those unions. When the Torah prohibits something, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that man has a natural desire for it. So why don't normal people feel that desire for incest? And the answer is because Chazal were successful in at least removing that element of the Yetzirah for immorality. In the Eretz Yisrael, they had a different version of this discussion. This is going back to what happened with Ezra. What did Ezra do? He went ahead, Godlo, he literally made God great by uttering the Shema Meforash. Rav Masna says, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vahanora. The Rav Masya, Matil, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rav Masna supports Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. What does Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say? I'll say another amazing Gemara. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Lamani Kran Shman, Anshi Knesset Hagodola. Why are the men of the Great Assembly called great? Why are they called great? So the Gemara says, Sheikh Zira Atrali Yoshna, because they returned the crown to the crown to its former glory. How so? I'm supposed to listen to this. Asa Moshe Amar, Hakel Hagodol Hagibor Vahanor. I'm supposed to say, when Moshe Rabbeinu praised that Kaddish Baruch Hu, he praised God with all these adjectives. Hakel, God, Godol, great, Gibor, strong, Nora, awesome. Asa Yirmiya, Vahamar Nachrim Mekarkarin, others say Merakdin, Pecholo. So I'll say Yirmiyahu, remember, who's the Navi of the destruction. He sees the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he says what? How can you, the Nochrim, the Gentiles, are dancing or croaking in the Beis HaMikdash, right? They're dancing, they're celebrating in our Beis HaMikdash. Ayeno Rosa, where is God's awesomeness? Where is God's awesomeness? Lo Amar Nora. Yirmiyahu took Nora off the list. Asa Daniel came along. Amar Nochrim Mishtabdin Bivarav. The Nochrim, the non-Jews, are what? Are literally enslaving his children. Ayegvurosav, where is God's strength? Lo Amar Gibor. So both say Yirmiyo knocks off Nora. Daniel knocks off Gibor. And what happens? Asu Inu. The Anshe Knesset Gadol come along and they say, Adraba, no, just the opposite. Zoe Gvuros. You know what the strength is? Zoe Gvuros Gvuroso. Shekovish es Yitro. Shenosin Erechapaim Lirishoim. Both, you know what the greatest strength of God is? The greatest strength of God is in his patience. That even though the Gentiles go ahead and defile his Beis HaMikdash, he's patient with them and allows them to try to do tshuva. The greatest manifestation of strength is not the flexing of your muscles. The greatest manifestation of strength is restraint. Ezehu Gibor HaKovesh Es Yitzro. So the Anshei Knesset Gadol say, no, you think God's passivity is a form of weakness. It's the ultimate form of strength. What happens? Ve'eloheinu Nor Osap. What's the awesomeness of God? She'omali moro shalakadosh baruch hu heich uma achas yuchola l'skayim ben ha'umos. And you want to see the awesomeness of God? The awesomeness of God is expressed in the fact that we are still here. Because how else can you explain the existence of the Jewish people among all of the nations? V'rabbanan. So therefore, I will say, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah went ahead and reinstituted that which Moshe Rabbeinu said, Godol, Gibor, and Nora. V'rabbanan heichi avdiachi. Moshe. So I will say, how were Yirmiyahu and Daniel able to go ahead and detract from the praise that was created, that was concretized by Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen, this also is amazing. Amar Rabbi Elazar, mitoch sheyodin shabakadosh baruch hu sha'amitihu lefichach lo kizbubo. So I will say, going back to what we learned before, Yirmiyahu and Daniel realized that if there's one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything, what's God's signet? MS. And therefore, again, God would not want us to say something that appears to be false. Therefore, to call God Gibor when he's not flexing his strength, to call him Nora when his children are being enslaved, they felt would be an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it doesn't look true. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves MS, he would have no problem if we took away these adjectives. And Shekinesh Sagadol come along and say, I'm sorry, Daniel, I'm sorry, Yirmiyo, you've misunderstood the strength and the greatness of God. The strength is not expressed in the flexing of muscles. Divine strength is often expressed in restraint, giving people an opportunity for tshuva. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often not expressed in the fact that we have tranquil lives, but it's expressed in the fact that we are still here despite all of our suffering. Therefore, they reinstituted the praise that was originally instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. All right, we'll say. Tomorrow. We're going to do regular time tomorrow. Let's do regular time.